today's daf is Tmura Lamed Dalet. We're going to start at the very bottom of Lamed Gimel and finish up the Masechet. Ve'elu hen ha'nikbarin. Okay, so if you look back to the previous Mishnah, we ended the Mishnah on Lamed Bet Amud Aleph about Imetu Yikavru and Rabbi Shimon Omer Kodshei Bet HaKabayit Imetu Yipadu, where we had a whole long explanation what Tanakama mean when they say Imetu Yikavru, what it's referring to. Okay, but generally if you have Kodashim, that ended up being disqualified. So what do we do with them? So Yikavru, or right, if they died before we redeem them, are we allowed, do we have to bury them, or can we redeem them? So once they were talking about burying things, now we're going to get into burying, and from there we're going to get to also burning. Okay, there's certain items that when they're disqualified or you know, not in use anymore, we'll see what they are, they're buried, and certain things have to be burnt. So, Elohen ha-nikbarin, kodashim shehipila. If you have, we learned already many, many times, that if you have an animal that's sanctified and it has offspring, so the offspring have sanctity also. If there's a if the animal miscarries, then the dead fetus gets buried. Hepila shilia tikaber. Also a shilia, placenta. Is also considered, there's no placenta without a vlad, and shiliabel of vlad, so therefore, if she miscarries a placenta, then that also needs to be buried. Vishor haniskal. This is an ox that gored, that's supposed to be stoned, so that also. Now, all these things, basically, we say they're asur bahana'a, you can't benefit from them, so that's why we bury them. Ve'egla rufa. Okay, right, that's the egel that you break its neck because of a dead body that was found between two cities. Vitziporei metzora, okay, the birds that were used. Now, one of the birds gets killed, right? You slaughter it, then you take the blood and you mix it with other stuff, and then you dip the other bird into that, and then you set it free. So there's a bit of a debate, which bird are we talking about? Because the bird that's dead is dead. The bird that's set free, to say that that's asur bahana'a needs to be buried is difficult. In other words, if we're going to say that's forbidden bahana'a, you're going to create a huge problem because you set this bird free and then nobody, there's this bird that's got isur hana'a in it and it's flying around. So because of that, they say, one second, I have to remember the... So what we're referring here to is the bird that after it was slaughtered, the one that you use the blood, that's the one that's going to be left to be buried. V'se'ar nazir. Okay, the hair of a nazir. Okay, we'll get back to this because there's two times where the nazir, or two possible situations where the nazir shaves off his hair. If you remember, the nazir has to let his hair grow long. Once he finishes his nazirut, then he's supposed to burn the hair. It says you're supposed to... you put it up to burn. Found the pasuk, but we'll get to it later. So you have to burn his hair. The question is, if you have to burn his hair, so why does it say here it's buried? So we'll see later that they say that the Mishnah must be referring to a nazir tameh. There's two situations. One is the nazir finishes his nazirut, his 30 days or however many days he took upon himself nazirut, and then he shaves his hair and he burns it. But if he becomes tameh, mitameh to a mate, then he also has to shave off his hair, and there it doesn't say you have to burn it, so the hair that he shaves off is the hair here that needs to be buried. Upeter chamor. If you remember the peter chamor, that's the firstborn chamor. You have to redeem with a seh. That's how we started Masechet Bechorot. Peter chamor, you redeem with a seh, and then it says im lo tifdeva arafto. If you don't do that, then you have to break its neck. So there you see, it's forbidden bahana'a. You can't actually use it. So here we're talking about what you do with it, you would bury it. Ubasar b'chalav. If you mix basar b'chalav, this is famous, right? It says it three times in the Torah. And what did they darshan from that? I think it's Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael. Darshan's three things, right? One, it's you can't eat basar b'chalav. Two is it's a sort of cook it. And three is it's a sort of benefit from it. So here you see it's a sort b'hana'a, and therefore you have to bury it. V'chulin shenishchitu ba'azara. If you have something that you shouldn't have brought into the Bein HaMikdash, a regular animal that wasn't sanctified, and you slaughtered it in the Azarah, it's forbidden to benefit from. Okay, this they darshan from the Nevela Pasuk. If you remember by Nevela, it says, Lakelev tishlichun oto. So it says, that gets, you could give it to your dog, you could benefit from, but not if it's chulin shenishchitu ba'azara. how they get to that from the Veil. Oh, okay, you know, that's classic drasha. They choose this must be saying this and not something else. And Chulin Shish Ketubah Asara is the other item that it, you know, that they exclude. Rabbi Shimon Omer Chulin Shish Ketubah Asara Yisrefu. Okay, he thinks actually it has to be burned. V'chein Chayash Shish Ketubah Asara. Okay, he says not only. Okay, so let's start with why he thinks Chulin Shish Ketubah Asara Yisrefu. The reason to burn something, okay, there's items that are forbidden b'hana'ah, so we say we bury them. The reason to burn them is that we're worried somebody might find it in the ground and accidentally benefit from it, or if we don't get rid of it entirely, it might get used. So the reason why he says the chulin shenish ketubah asara have to be burned is because he says if we don't burn them, someone might find them, and if they find them, they'll think that it was kadshim and not chulin, right? They won't realize that it's forbidden. And you might confuse it. Now, he goes farther to say, even a chaya shenish ketubah asara. Now, what's the difference between a chaya and a behema? Because a chaya, there's no sacrifices brought from chayot. Sacrifices are only brought from behemot. But despite that, he still says, if you have a chaya that you brought b'azara, this is what we call lo plug. In other words, the rabbis didn't distinguish. Any kind of chulin shenish ketubah asara is going to have to be burned according to Rabbi Shimon and not buried again. One, because you might confuse them, and even when you don't confuse them, well, it just comes under the general category of chulin shenish ketubah asara. Okay, those are all buried. Ve'elu hena nisrafim. The following items need to be burned. Now, each of these are darshan from a different in a different manner. Chametz bepesach yisareif. Okay, so first of all, chametz bepesach has to be burned. Find chametz on Pesach, we burn it. This is actually, we're going to see later, it's a machlok at Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama. Okay, we're not going to see Tanakama's opinion, but I'll just tell it to you. Tanakama says you break it up into little pieces and you can kind of let it fly to the wind, or you can throw it into the water, okay, in some way where it will kind of get destroyed, but not fully destroyed the way. In other words, it will sort of not be able to be used at that point, but it won't be fully destroyed. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, which is our Mishnah, says it has to be burned. And they learn it. He learns it out from the din of notar. Notar by notar, that's if you leave over meat past its actual time. You see why this stuff is going to take a long time. Just every item in this Mishnah needs explanation. So he learns it out from notar. From there, he learns to Pesach. Some people think it's because since it's asur b'hana'ah, you have to burn it, but then you'd have to say, well, why is chametz different? Some people say it's because it says tashbitu sa'or mi batechem. Tashbitu means get rid of it entirely, which they understand to mean burn. Utruma tamea. If you have truma that becomes disqualified, we've learned this a long, long time ago and many times since, that truma that gets disqualified, right, becomes impure, has to be burned. They learn that from kodeshim. Okay, by truma, it calls it kodesh. Kodshim are kedusha. They have to be burned. And therefore, now why do kodshim have to be burned? That become impure? Because we're worried, again, that you might use it because, right, you might think it's okay. It might get mixed up with other kodshim. Right? We've talked about this many times. It's something that becomes tamei, it's not noticeable. It doesn't look any different just because it became impure. And therefore, it's likely it'll get confused. Okay. There's one difference between Truma Tamea and all the others in this list. All the others are forbidden b'hana'ah entirely. Truma Tamea, when you burn it, you can actually use the burning. You can benefit from the burning. So you can take Truma Tamea and make a fire and use the fire to cook your food. Okay, so it's actually permitted b'hana'ah, which is different than these other cases. It's permitted once it's burned. V'ha'orla v'kilei ha'keren. Okay, I'm going to read these two together because they kind of are learnt out from the same place. So, kilei ha'kerem. Okay, let's start with orla. Orla are the fruits for the first 3 years that are forbidden, and they're forbidden to benefit from also. Kilei ha'kerem is when you mix, you grow your vine together with your crops and within a certain amount of proximity to each other. There, the pasuk says, pen tikdesh ha'mele'ah ha'zera asher tizra. And they learn, what does it mean, pen tikdash? Pen tukad esh, lest you have to burn it. Which means, don't mix these together because you'll have to burn it, which means, you'll have to burn it if you mix them together. So from there, they learn that you have to burn it. Tosfot says, from kilei ha'kerem, they make a hekesh to orla. Interestingly enough, Tosfot Yom Tov says, now a hekesh, how does a hekesh work? It's when two things appear in the pasuk next to each other, right? Either two verses next to each other or within the same verse. That's a hekesh. So Tosfos Yom Tov says, I don't know where Tosfos gets it. There's a hekesh. I haven't seen any pasuk that compares Kilei HaKerem to Orla. And they say, he didn't exactly mean hekesh in the use of the word hekesh. He meant a bameh matzinu, which is what, you know, we see, similarity between these two, so we can learn from one to the other. Okay, this is just interesting in terms of, you know, people throw around terminology and not always do they use it in the exact form that it's meant to be used in, unless Tosfos really had a hekesh that Tosfos Yom Tov didn't find. Okay. Now, so we have a list of things that get buried, then we have a list of things that get burned. Etchedarkan yisrof, ve'etchedarkan likaber. Etchedarkan lisrof yisrof, ve'etchedarkan likaber yikaber. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, and Rashi says, that this is referring to specifically Orla and Kilei HaKerem, and it's telling you what generally gets burned gets burned. Okay, what did we just say? Orla and Kilei HaKerem get burned. So now they say, well, within Orla and Kilei HaKerem, again, this is Rashi's interpretation. It's not clear what this is referring to, but Rashi says what it means is within Kilei HaKerem and Orla, there's types of things that are meant to, if they're supposed to, how did you say it?
Liquid and solid.
Right, so I didn't want to get to what the Gemara says, but I guess I'll say it already. The Gemara is going to explain what this means is items that can be burned, which are solids, get burned. If they can't get burned, like liquids can't really burn them, then they get buried. Umadlikim bepat ubeshemen shel truma. This is what I told you, that you can take truma to man, you can light a fire with it and use the fire. Okay, this is an exception to the rule of all the others. So you can take bread or oil of truma and use it for your fire. Again, of impure truma. Kol ha-kodeshim she-nishchetu chutz lezmanam, v'chutz limkomam. Okay, we assume this means, okay, there's a word missing here, which is kodeshim that were slaughtered, sacrifices that were slaughtered. Now, the word missing is with a machshava, that you're going to think about. This goes back to pigul, okay, where you have a thought while you're shechting it, I'm going to sprinkle the blood or burn them outside of the time frame that's allowed, meaning within this day, or again, well, right, it would be this day if you're talking about the sprinkling of the blood. If it comes to, you think, oh, I'm going to eat it, chutz lezmanam, there it depends. Each korban has its own, how many days it can be eaten for. If the Kohen has an intent of eating it or burning it outside the time frame or outside the location where it can be burned, all right, elu yisrafu. If you remember, both those are pigul, just for when you get karet, for when you don't get karet. Okay, so those also get burned if they're pigul. Asham talui yisareif. Okay, here you have a case. You bring a korban asham talui. What's that? That's when you ate something that was a piece of fat. You weren't sure if it was chelev or if it was fat that was allowed. You're not sure. Okay, it's any kind of case. That's just the classic example. Where you did something that if you for sure did it, you'd have to bring a korban chatat. In this case, you're not sure if what you did was usher or not. You're not sure. Was it chelev or was it shuman? Was it fat that was allowed? So what do? You bring a korban asham talui. Now let's say you bring that korban, you shechted it, but before you did the blood, which is the atonement part of it, you find out that you actually didn't sin. Okay, normally what happens, if you find out that you sinned, so what does this asham talui help you with? It's actually an interesting situation, because it doesn't actually complete your kapara. It provides you with atonement until such point as you determine whether you did it or not. If you determine that in fact it was chelev, you have to bring a korban chatat, and it's even if you already brought the korban asham. But let's say you did the asham taloi, you shechted it, but you didn't sprinkle the blood, and then it turns out, you find out, you actually didn't do anything wrong. It was fat, it was regular fat that was allowed. So now what do? So now you have to burn it, okay? You have to burn whatever's left, since you can't sprinkle the blood and finish the kapara, right? Because you don't need it anymore, so you burn it. It's kind of like, why do you have to burn it? Because it's like chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. Right, it's very similar to that. Okay. Okay. So now Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yikaver. So with the Asham Taloi, there's a machloket. Do you have to burn it, or is it enough to bury it? Chatata of haba ala safek tisaref. If you bring a chatata of in a safek situation, now what would be a safek situation? So the situation that Rashi brings is a woman that miscarries, and she's supposed to bring a korban yoledet even on a miscarriage, but only at a certain stage of the development of the fetus. Now, if she's not sure how developed the fetus is, and she's not sure if she's supposed to bring the korban yoledet or not, that's what we call a korban habal safek. Now, normally you would think you can't bring a korban based on a safek because it might be chulin shenishchetu bazara, but in this case, she's allowed to bring it, and I think there was something about this. Right. The reason why she's allowed to bring this is because it's an oaf, okay? Not a behema. She would never be allowed. Notice it says chatat ha'of ha'ba'al ha'safek. Okay, the yoledet korban is a korban that's brought with birds. The reason why that can be brought and it's not a problem of chulin shenishchetu ba'zara is because the main thing to do with the bird is to sprinkle you kind of spread the blood on the mizbeach. It's called mitzoy hadam. But you don't actually burn the evarim, the parts of the animal, on the mizbeach like you do with the behemot. So since you don't burn the parts on the mizbeach, we allow it. And we don't want you burning parts on the mizbeach that might be chulin. But in this case, since you don't have to do that, we allow the sprinkling of the blood. Okay. So some people ask, where do we get this distinction between dam and blood? The dam is okay and blood, and the meat isn't, right? That you could put the blood on the mizbeach mishum safek, but you can't do the meat. But we'll leave that as a question. Okay, so therefore, you have this chatat ha'ba'al ha'safek. Now, what's the issue? Since it's safek, okay, so we allow you to do the blood, which again we leave as a bit of a question: why the blood is allowed when kind of burning the meat on the mizbeach or parts of the animal on the mizbeach would be aser, and that's why by animals we don't allow it. But the meat can't be eaten by the kohen because maybe it's not kodshim. So therefore, we don't generally in a regular chatat, the meat gets given to the kohanim, but we can't give it. Therefore, we have to burn the meat, okay? Because the meat is forbidden since it's not for sure that it's kodshim.
And not on the mizbeach, just burn it.
Right, exactly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yitilena la'ama. Okay, you don't have to actually burn it. You have a better way to do it or a different way to do it, which is since the meat of the bird is very soft, the assumption is it will kind of disappear or liquefy, and therefore we put it in, if you remember, there was this drain in the Beit HaMikdash that drained out to Nachal Kidron, and that ended up, right, that's basically a better, you know, or a valid way of getting rid of it. Kol ha'nikbarim lo yisrafu v'chol ha'nisrafim lo yikavru. Now the Mishnah says, if it's supposed to be buried, you can't burn it. If it's supposed to be burnt, you can't bury it. Now we can understand why if it's supposed to be burnt, you can't bury it. Why? We already said, if you bury it, somebody might find it and they might benefit from it. And therefore, if you're supposed to burn it, means right, we want to make sure no one ever benefits from it. And therefore, we understand. But why, if it's supposed to be buried, can it not be burned? When do you think burning is more? So we're going to learn later that if you burn something, once you burn it, then you basically, okay, yep. By the burning, let me just sort of go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We had a list of things that are buried and a list of things that are burned. All of them, other than this Truma Tameah, are forbidden Bahana'a. You can't benefit from them. So that's why we're getting rid of them. The question is, why the difference between burying and burning? So the basic reason is because the Torah says so, right? We had a drasha by all of, either it says it explicitly or the rabbis learned it out from the psukim, that there's four items that need to be burned, right? The chametz, truma tameah, orla, and kilei kerem. Those need to be burned. So now, we're going to explain that since there's a mitzvah, or a commandment to burn them, once you burn them, they no longer have sanctity to them. Now, you've kind of burnt, their mitzvah has been done. Once their mitzvah has been done, now it's just ashes. Well, the ashes you can actually benefit from because we've already done the mitzvah, okay? When you're supposed to bury them, it's not actually a mitzvah to bury. It's just that the rabbi said, we're worried that you might benefit from these items, and therefore we're going to say, well, bury them so that nobody accidentally uses them, right? Put it away. In that case, since someone could potentially find them, right, there's still a bit of an issue that maybe someone will find them and use them. Therefore, and it's helping it's helping us because we think it's unlikely someone's going to find them, and that's why we bury them. But there's still this chance, they're still forbidden b'hana'a because it's not, there's no mitzvah from the Torah to bury them. It's just the rabbi said, since these items are forbidden b'hana'a, you can't benefit from them, we're worried that you might come to use them, therefore bury them. But since no mitzvah's been done to them, if you were to burn them, which is what we just said you can't do, you might think that the ashes are permitted, since if you burn the other items, the ashes are permitted, since you fulfilled the mitzvah by the others by burning them. Here, there's no mitzvah to burn them. Therefore, the isur hana'a won't leave them. It's actually, it's this interesting situation where because they're more chamor, then you have to burn them, there's something additional, you end up, it becomes kal, because once you've done that, already the ashes are permitted. Whereas on the flip side, when it comes to the burial, since that's not a particular mitzvah, it's just the rabbi said, well, let's institute this as a thing so that people don't benefit from them. Well, the Isur Hana'a never leaves them. So if you were to burn those items, since there's no mitzvah to burn them, the Isur Hana'a doesn't leave them. And that's why you're not allowed to burn them. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im ratza lachmir al atzmo lischof et hanikbarim, Rashai, he views the whole thing as just a chumrah to burn. So he says, if you want to burn, things are supposed to be buried, sure, go for it. He doesn't agree with the whole long thing I just explained. He says, no, you can even burn them, and we're not worried that people will think they're permitted, that the ashes are permitted to benefit from. Amru lo, and they said to him, no way, Rabbi Yehuda, eino mutar l'shanot. You can't change. Okay? Yefshar. Gemara starts off, Se'ar ha-Nazir yikaver. Okay, so we said that the hair of the Nazir is supposed to be buried. Now, we already mentioned that this is a bit of an issue because it also says the Se'ar of the Nazir is supposed to be burned. Okay, they don't bring the actual contradiction from there, but they're going to bring it from the following source. Ramile Tavi le Rav Nachman. Tavi brought a koshi to Rav Nachman from here, Tnan. It says in another Mishnah, Se'ar ha-Nazir yikaver. Okay? It says in our Mishnah, Se'ar Nazir Yikaver, Uriminhu, and it says in a Mishnah in Orla, Ha'urig Melo Hasit Mitzemer Bechor Bebeged, if you embroider in a certain measurement, Melo Hasit, do you remember what the measurement is? It's, I forgot. How much is it? What is it? Melo Hasit is... It's the measure from, if you take your thumb and your index finger and you spread them as far as you can, that's Melo Hasit, okay? The measurement from the tip of one finger to the other. If you embroider that amount of tzemer from Bechor, Bebeged, into a cloth, Yidalek, you have to burn it. Yidalek HaBeged, you have to burn the Beged. Mise'ar HaNazir U'peter Chamor B'sak. Now, the bags, they would make it from hairs. If you took from the hair of the Nazir, or the hair from a Petar Chamor, and you made a bag out of it, Yidalek. Okay? You would have to burn Yidalek Hasak. So what do you see here? If you form this bag out of hair of the Nazir, it has to be burned. So, right? Therefore, how can you explain it? Compared with our Mishnah, which says it doesn't. Now notice, it's not just the Se'ar Nazir, it's also the Petar Chamor. Petar Chamor and Se'ar Nazir in our Mishnah said, Yikavru. In the Mishnah, in Orla, it says, they have to be burned once they get woven into this basket, this bag. So, I don't know, what's the word sack? It's not actually a bag, it's a...
Sackcloth.
Okay. So, what does Rav Nachman answer him? Amar Lei, Kam benazir tameh, kam benazir tahor. Here we get to the distinction I mentioned earlier. When it's a nazir tameh, where there's no specific mitzvah to burn it, it doesn't say in the Torah you have to burn it, there we're going to say, that's our Mishnah, yikaver. When it comes to a regular nazir, when he finishes his nazirut, and he didn't get impure in the middle, and it wasn't from that shaving, it was from the shaving when he finished his nazirut, that is supposed to get burned, as it says in the Torah. So therefore, if you take that hair and you weave it into a sackcloth, well, then you're going to have to burn it. Comes back to him, Tavi, and he says, okay, Shanit Nazir a Nazir. So you explain the issue with the Nazir and the Nazir. We could say Nazir Tameh, Nazir Tahor. But Petar Chamor, Petar Chamor Kashya. But you still have to explain to me the Petar Chamor. Okay, why in the Mishnah does it say Yikaver? And in the Mishnah in Orla, it says it has to be burned. So, Ishtik velo, Amrele velo midi. So he was silent. Rav Nachman didn't have a good answer. Now, if you're a teacher, you don't have a good answer, and someone asks you a good question, what's a certain tactic you could go about? Amar lei, midishmi alach baha. So Rav Nachman says back to Tavi, hey, have you heard anything about this, right? You asked a good question, think about it yourself. Do you have a good answer? Did you learn anything about this? Amar lei. So he says back to him, yeah, actually I do. Hachi amar Rav Sheshet, kam besak, kam besear. The difference is, notice, one is if you just have the hair, and the other is if it's already woven into a sackcloth. So he says, when it's just the hair by itself, then you can bury it. Once it's woven into a sackcloth, it has to be burned. Now, what's the logic? Go back to our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? The whole reason you have to burn, right, the one reason for burning things is because you might actually, why, if can't we bury things that are supposed to be burned? Because you might find it, right? Someone might find it buried under the ground. The likelihood of someone finding a hair buried under the ground and using it is very unlikely. But a sock is something somebody might find under the ground. Therefore, you'd have to burn it. Itmar Nami, and the following was said also, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, kam besak, kam besear. He gave that distinction. Now, by the way, this distinction would answer the stira about the nazir also. Then you no longer have to say nazir tameh, nazir tahor. Rabbi Elazar Amar, kam benazir tahor, kam benazir tameh. He gave that distinction, which then doesn't really answer the distinction for the Petra Hamor, right? He just says, I can explain the Nazir between Nazir Tahor and Nazir Tameh. Back to Tavi and Rav Nachman. So Amar Lei, Libatel Sak Beruba. Now he questions again, and he says, but you can, theoretically, if you have this Sak, and the issue is that you're worried somebody might use it, can't you just say Libatel Sak Beruba? The assumption here is that you didn't make a whole sock out of all of the, it's not all made from the Nazir's hair or the Petra Chamor's hair. It's part of it is. So now they say, why don't you just say that the hair that you use of the Nazir or the Petra Chamor is canceled out to the rest of the sock? And then who cares if somebody finds it? It's Batel Barov. So, Amar Rav Papa, Bitzvirta, Bitziporta. Okay, what does that mean? It sounds like, it is what it sounds like. It's a bird. It's where you embroidered a bird out of the Nazir's hair on the sock. Okay, right? They had decorated bags, right, like we have nowadays. So now, once you embroider the bird into this sackcloth, it's already, what do we call it? Davar chashuv. Remember, we learned that something that's significant can't get canceled. So they say, well, if that's the case, tziporta, tziporta, lishlafinu. You could just take out, and it's unembroidered, right? It's very easy, just take out the hairs. And then you don't have to bury. Why do you have to bury, why do you have to burn the sock? Right, you could just take out the threads there that are made from hair, the hair of the Nazir, and then it's fine. Especially if it's not the bag itself, it's just a design on it. You could take it right out. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Hamane Rabbi Yehudahi. So now they say, this whole thing goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the Mishnah in Orla, where it said you have to burn the sock, is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. It doesn't actually mean you have to burn the sock. It means you can burn the sock. Okay? Really, it could be buried, but if you wanted to, you could burn it. So now they say, Amar lei, kakashilan lishlofinu, va'at mukmala k'Rabbi Yehuda. Say, wait. The whole question was, couldn't you take it out? And then instead of saying that, yeah, you could take it out, they say, oh no, this is just Rabbi Yehuda, that you could burn it if you want. Still, in other words, it doesn't answer our question. Our whole question was, well, if you could take out the hairs, then why would we tell you to burn it? And the answer was, well, it goes like Rabbi Yehuda says, you could burn it if you want. But you still wouldn't burn it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you could fix it and take it out. So what do they answer? They say like this, I'm a Rabbi, Hachi kamina. This is what they meant to say. Im efshar lishlofinu mutav. V'im lav ukma k'Rabbi Yehuda da'amar im ratzalach mir alatzmo l'tzrof tenik barim rashai. You have two options. One is take it out, and if you can't remove the hairs for whatever reason, then you need to burn it. Okay? Or no, then you can burn it. In other words, let's go like this. The Mishnah says in Orla, again, where do we start? Our Mishnah says you have to bury it. The Mishnah Orla says you burn it. So why do you burn it? Well, the Mishnah Orla really means, number one, if you can take it out, then take it out. Okay, if it's something that's not batel, like a tzipor, right, that's designed, take it out. if for some reason it can't be removed and it's the majority of the sock, okay, it's not a case where you could remove it and it's not batel to the rest of the sock, then either it's some important part of the sock or it's, let's say, the majority, then how does the Mishnah work? The Mishnah says you burn it. You can burn it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to burn it based on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says you kaver, but it follows Rabbi Yehuda, who says, if you want to, you can. And I guess the assumption is also, right, Rabbi Yehuda says, im ratzah lachmir alatzmo. Rabbi Yehuda says, better to burn it. Okay, we'd rather you burn it, because again, he's not concerned about this whole thing with the ashes, right? That if we say you burn it, you might think the ashes are mutar, and they're really not. He's not worried about that. Okay, and that's why he says it's okay. Whereas again, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah said, no, if it's supposed to be buried, you can't burn it, because again, you might use the ashes, think it's okay.
I think there's a much simpler argument that they could use. I don't know why they're making it so complicated.
What do you think?
That it's a lav, and it has to be buried. But if you go over the lav, and you do something with it, and you try to make something out of it, in other words, benefit from it, then you have to... then it's your obligation to burn, because...
But you're saying you're supposed to burn it, but according to the Mishnah, our Mishnah, you don't need to burn it. That's the whole thing. There is no chiyuv to burn.
But the Mishnah is talking about what to do with the actual object that is pasul to be used, and therefore it should be buried. But if you do the lav and you use it anyhow, then it's like another stage.
Uh-huh. And then it's worse because you used it, you're saying. I see. You're saying this is worse because you benefited from it and
so
created something out of it, and therefore it becomes, right? I'll put it in other words, what you're saying is shinoi kone, so to speak, as we've said many times. Once you've done something with it, you've already changed its status, and in that case, the problem is usually shinoi kone actually makes it more better. Right, it makes it better, not worse. So that's why I think this would be difficult to say in this case. Because, again, we also said before, once you misuse something or you burn it, then you've already gotten rid of the problem, so to speak. And it's actually usually more mutar at that point. But, okay, it is a possible way to think. Okay, Elohein ha-nisrafim. So now we go back to the things we burn. Amar mar, chametz v'pesach yisaref. So now we say, right, that according to the Mishnah, you're supposed to burn it. Stam lan tana ke Rabbi Yehuda. The tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar ein bi'or chametz ela shreifa. Right, because I mentioned before, there's machlok and psachim, what you're supposed to do with chametz pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says you're supposed to burn it, and Tanakhama says you can break it up into pieces and let it blow to the wind or throw it into the yam, into the water. There's a whole debate, halacha lamasa, right? We generally say that if you find chametz pesach, you have to burn it. Okay, why do we pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda neged Tanakhama? So some people say it's based on this, the fact that the Stam Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda here, that further proves that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's in an individual opinion against Tanakhama. Truma Tamea v'ha'orla. Haketzad, so this was about the things that are supposed to get burned, and things that are supposed to get buried. I'm sorry, right, where we said, right, if the item is something that could get burned, then it gets burned. If it can't get burned, then it gets buried. So haketzad, this is the way we already explained. Ochlim b'srefam mashkim b'kvura. Okay, in the case of oil and kalei hakerem, where you're supposed to burn it, if it's liquids, though, then you don't burn it, right? You bury it, because you can't really burn them, right? The assumption is burial, you kind of put it into the ground. You don't bury it, you know. Okay, chatat ha'of, Tanya. So now we have this chatat ha'of ha'ba'al ha'safek, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, chatat ha'of, okay, now we're quoting a braita about this, chatat ha'of ha'ba'al ha'safek, that was this yoledet who has a miscarriage and which doesn't know how far into the pregnancy she is and whether she's chayav a korban yoledet or not. Yitilena la'ama u'minatcha ever. We're just getting into more details about exactly what to do. You put it into the drain. U'minatcha ever. You break it up into evarim. Vizorkan la'ama. Okay, in other words, how do you put it in the ama? Well, you don't just throw the whole thing. First, you cut it up into pieces. Vizorkan la'ama u'mitgalgelet b'chol lechet l'nachal kitron. And then you throw the pieces into the drain that's on the floor of the Beit HaMikdash, and from there it gets into Nachal Kidron. Kol hanigbarin lo yisrafu. Okay, now we're going to talk about this whole issue that I mentioned before about the efer, the ashes of something that you burned being permitted because you fulfilled the mitzvah by them, whereas when it comes to something you bury, the ashes, if you burn them, the ashes aren't going to be permitted. My taima. Mishum dinikbarin afaran asur, v'nisrafin afaran mutar. So items that are supposed to be buried, their ashes are forbidden still, and items that are supposed to be burned, their ashes are permitted. So now they question. V'nikbarin, afaran asur. Things are supposed to be buried. Really? The ashes are forbidden? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in the following braita? Dam hanida. Okay, dam nida, the blood of anida, is tame, right? It's mitame. It's impure. U'basar hamet. Okay, the flesh from a dead body is also tame. But if they dried up, shenifrichu, if they dried up and then broke up into pieces, right, it was all dried up blood or dried up flesh that broke into pieces, tehorin, they no longer carry impurity. So wouldn't this be like something that's buried, that's now, once it's buried, wouldn't we say, and it turns in, if you burned it and it turned into ashes, it's kind of like blood that broke up into pieces and is no longer its original form, and like flesh of a dead body, they're tahor. So, my lav tahorin umutarin, doesn't this sound like they're not pure anymore, they're not impure, they don't carry impurities, and they're permitted to benefit from them. So they say, because remember, a dead body is a sur bahana'a. We've learned that before. You can't benefit from flesh of a dead body. So this sounds like once the flesh of the dead body broke up into pieces, not only does it not carry impurity anymore, but it also is permitted bahana'a. That's what they assume. What do they answer? Oh, lo tahorin va'asurin. No, no, no. They're not impure anymore, but they're also not permitted bahana'a. Just because, okay, that's not the same. By the way, I just want to point out, if you remember a few dapim ago, there was this thing about the melot tarvad, a ladle full of ashes of a dead body, of like the disintegrated flesh from a dead body. So when this, that seems to contradict this. That still has impurity. Okay, if you have a ladle full of disintegrated flesh from a dead body, that's going to be impure. So what does this mean? This seems to say it's not. This is talking about a shear of a kezayit. If you have only a kezayit, a ladleful is more than a kezayit. So if you have a kezayit of what we call, there we called it rekev, right? Rekev is the rotted part from the flesh. So if you have if you're talking about rekev, if you have a kezayit, it's not mitame. And that's what this is talking about. The source that we talked about there is if you have already a ladleful, that will be mitame. Okay, here we're talking about the regular shiurim or not mitame. But they say it just means it's not mitame, it doesn't mean it's permitted to benefit from. And therefore they say no, they weren't even talking about hana'a at all, and that doesn't contradict. Madibra Pinchas, another contradiction. Olat ha'of shenitmatza dama. Okay, let's go back to the olat ha'of. When you have an olat ha'of, what are you supposed to do? First you do malika instead of shchita. If you remember, that's what you do with the bird, with the thumb, and you pinch the, you do malika, it's the type of shlita that you do for the bird. You do that. Then you spread the blood on the side of the mizbeach. That's called mitzoy hadam. Then you burn the head on the mizbeach. Then you take off the mora'a, the crop, you take it out, and the notzata, the feathers. And then you throw those into the place where we put the trumat hadeshen. Do you remember that's the ashes that come from the korbanot? You're supposed to take a komets full of the ashes and put it in the trumat, in the area where called the makom hadeshen. These you're supposed to throw in that same spot, okay? The notza and the mora'a, and then you cut up the body and burn it, okay? So now, what do they say here? Olat ha'of shenitmatza dama, mora'ata v'notza shela yetzu midei mi'ila. Once you do the mitzoy hadam, you've already performed the mitzvah. That's the main mitzvah by the bird. Even though you burn some parts on the mizbeach, it's not the main part of it. So at that point, the crop and the feathers are no longer within the range of the halachot of me'ila. Now, what's me'ila? Benefiting from something that was kodesh. So it sounds like my lav yatzu midei me'ila umutarin. If there's no din of me'ila, then obviously, then mutar b'hana'a, you can benefit from them, because me'ila means don't benefit from hekdesh property. So what are the answer? No, yetzu midei me'ila v'asurin. There's no din of me'ila by them, but they still have an isur hana'a. Okay, they're still forbidden to benefit from them. One could say that means midirabbanim, right? We've seen lots of cases where it says lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. Remember, that means you can't benefit from it, but it's not within the range of me'ila. In other words, it's already less sanctified, but it's not fully unsanctified. okay, which kind of reminds us of our whole thing of Temura. If you think about it, we're ending the Masechet. It's a similar thing where Temura is not the same as the original Korban. It's a substitution. It still has sanctity, not exactly the same sanctity as the first, right? It is sanctified, but there's some differences about it. So, lo yatsu midei milav asurim v'nisrafim. Okay, and therefore they get burned. V'asurim. Okay. So that resolved, now again, where did we start? We said, things that are supposed to be burned, their ashes are mutar. Things that are supposed to be buried, their ashes are asur. Now the chatata of, so, This is the, I got confused for a minute. This is the olata of, not the chatata of. That's why I got confused for a minute, because this part, you do burn the parts on the Mizbeach. Before, we were talking about the chatata of. The chatata of, you don't burn the meat on the Mizbeach. The olata of, you do burn the parts of the animal on the Mizbeach. And they tried to bring it from the olata of, that it sounds like once you do that, they're yatsu midei mi'ilah. And here we say, no, they're still forbidden b'hana'a. V'nisrafim de hekdesh afaran mutar. So now we're going to talk about this. Nisrafim, once you burn hekdesh, we assumed, what does that mean? The ashes are permitted. V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, ha-nisrafin afaram mutar, chutz me'efer ashera ve'efer dehekdesh. It says, all things that are burned, their ashes are permitted, except for the ashes of the ashera and the ashes of hekdesh le'olam. Now, there's two problems with this. First of all, we just said nisrafin... What? Le'olam asur, right. And they're forever asur. Now, forever asur sounds like even once you burn them. And what did we say? If you burn them, already the ashes are mutar. The other problem with this is that it doesn't say chutz me afar asherah ve'efer hekdesh. It says chutz me afar asherah, period, ve'efer dehekdesh le'olam asur. It kind of has a different wording when it comes to the efer of hekdesh. So, ume'arev hu delo ka'arev lehu. And they don't mix the two, right? So why v'tane lehu, right? Why didn't they mix the two and say chutz me'efer asherah ve'efer dehekdesh? Instead, it says chutz me'efer asherah, comma, ve'efer dehekdesh le'olam asur. Mishum de asherah yesh la betela. There is a case where efer asherah would be mutar. What would be the case? Be'oveg kochavim. If a non-Jew cancels the asherah and says, I don't want to use this as a asherah anymore, okay, it's a type of avodah zarah, if they themselves say, I'm not using this for avodah zarah anymore, then it's no longer forbidden b'hana'a. But hekdesh, ein lo b'teila olami. But hekdesh, that has, right, that needs to be burned because there's something wrong with, right, that was nifsal, that was messed up somehow, you can't, the ein lo b'teila olamit. Therefore, katani mia, efer dehekdesh le'olam asur. But why does it say specifically le'olam asur? Why does it use that lashon? So number one, we can distinguish between the two. They have to be mentioned separately because there's a different halacha between them, because the efer of asher, there is some way out. Why does it say le'olam asur? So amar rabbi barchama, ki gondin aflad le'kab. Okay, so now the other issue is, why does it say le'olam asur? That contradicts what we said. Once you burn it, what do we say? The efer is permitted. How does it come? It says here, le'olam asur. So we're going to have two possible answers. Rami Barchama says, ki gon din aflad le'kaba atseyak desh me'eleha. This is very interesting. When we said that if you burn it, they're permitted b'hana'a, that's because once you fulfill the mitzvah of burning it, that takes away the hekdesh of it. It's very interesting in terms of how the hekdesh, the isur hana'a can disappear. You've done what you're supposed to with it. You're finished with it. Now you can benefit from the ashes. But if it burned on its own, it's very fascinating. What if you had this? Now, here, we're not talking about, what they're going to say now is, when it says, kol ha'nisrafin afaram mutar chutz me'afar asherah ve'efer hekdesh le'olam asur, when it says efer hekdesh le'olam asur, but they're not talking about something that got disqualified. They're talking about regular hekdesh, that a fire broke out and burned it. Now the question is it asur b'hana'a? Yes. Because, first of all, you didn't burn it because it was a mitzvah to burn it. It just burned on its own. Okay, there were two things, really. Number one, it burned on its own. And number two, it wasn't supposed to be burned. It wasn't disqualified. It was regular stuff. And there, skip the words kevan delo yadi aman. So those words are not supposed to be there according to the Nusach. De lo havi inish de limo, the lefuk afaran lechulin. there was no one, and in this case they're saying also there was no one who, there's different ways that Hekdesh can disappear. One is if you do Me'ilah. If someone benefits from consecrated property, then consecrated items, that's called Me'ilah. And what happens? Remember, they have to replace the item and give a Chomesh, because what they basically did is they redeemed it. Okay, it's almost, it's like Shinoi, right? Shinoi Kone. If I change something, well, then it becomes mine, even though it was forbidden for me to do. But once I do it, it already takes, so once I was Moel, it takes off the Hekdesh status. In this case, just a fire came and burned it. There was nothing that removed it from its Hekdesh status, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Rav Shamya Omer, Kitanya Hamatnita Betrumat Hadeshin. When it talks there about Ein Lo B'Teilah Olamit, Efer DeHekdesh, what's the classic Efer DeHekdesh? It's not what we're talking about, disqualified, and it's not that a fire broke out and burned it. It's the classic ashes of Hekdesh, which are in the Beit HaMikdash. We burn the stuff on the Mizbeach. What do you do with that Efer? Well, that's forbidden. Why? Because you have to do the mitzvah of Trumat HaDeshen. Okay, that's what we talked about before. So, Tanya de lo olam asur, de Tanya, v'samo, it says v'samo, v'samo, I have to remember the whole pasuk. Where is it here? Oh, there's no Torah or here. On the pasuk, it says, "V'heirim et hadeshen asher tochal la'esh et ha'olah al ha'mizbeach v'samo etzel ha'mizbeach." V'samo, they say, you have to place it there b'nachat. You can't throw it there. Okay, why would they think you could throw it? Because when we talked about the chatat, you're supposed to throw the stuff. They say to, in the place where the Trumat HaDeshen is, it says you throw it v'hishlich. Here it says v'samo instead of v'hishlich. So you have to do it benachat. Visamo kulo, all of it doesn't actually mean all the ashes. It means the shear's worth, and they learn the shear from kmitza of the mincha. It has to be a komet, a handful, even though you don't do it the same exact way you do the kmitza there, but it means a handful. Visamo shelo yifazer. You can't spread it around. Okay? In other words, you can't just kind of put it in different places. You have to put it all in one place. And it teaches you that it needs geniza, basically, and because of that, it's asur b'hana'ah. So therefore, by the Trumat HaDeshen, it specifically has an isur hana'ah because it's a special drasha in the pasuk. But normally, if you would do the mitzvah and you would burn it, then the ashes wouldn't be forbidden. Hadron alach yesh b'kodshei mizbeach uslich ala masechet tmura, and with this we end masechet tmura. Okay, we don't really have time left to talk about other things, but with this we end the masechet. Again, the one thing I thought of was about the connection between the sanctity of items, and that's how we started with sanctity of items that maybe shouldn't have been sanctified, like a tmura, making a substitution. We spent a lot of time in the Masechet talking about sanctification of items, what their status is, what we do with them. So the Masechet ends with all sorts of sanctified items and other items that, you know, what do we do with them? Do we bury them? Do we burn them? What happens once we do that? Once we fulfill the mitzvahs, does the Isur Hana'ah leave or not? What their status is? Okay, with that we'll end the Masechet. We'll do the Hadrons. Hadron alach masechet tmura v'hadra chalan, datan alach masechet tmura v'dat ha'chalan, lo ninashem inach masechet tmura v'lo tinashem inan, lo ba'al mahadein v'lo ba'al mahadate. Hadron alach masechet tmura v'hadra chalan, datan alach masechet tmura v'dat ha'chalan, lo ninashem inach masechet tmura v'lo tinashem inan, lo ba'al mahadein v'lo ba'al mahadate. Hadron alach masechet tmura v'hadra chalan, hadatan alach masechet tmura v'dat ha'chalan, lo ninashem inach masechet tmura v'lo tinashem inan, lo ba'al mahadein v'lo ba'al mahadate. Here it's on Fanach Adonai Eloheinu v'lehe v'tenu sh'tei Torotcha manutenu v'olam hazeh, t'yei manu l'olam haba chanina bar papa rami bar papa nachman bar papa achad bar papa abba mara bar papa rafa bar papa rachish bar papa surcha bar papa ada bar papa dara bar papa ha'arev na Adonai Eloheinu et t'vrei Torotcha b'finu v'viyot amcha b'Yisrael n'ye kulanu anachu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha b'Yisrael kulani yodei shamecha v'lemder Torotcha ve'vai techach meni mitzvotecha ki l'olam hili יהי ליבי תמים בחוקך למען לא אבוש, לעולם לא אשכח פיקודך כי בם חייתני. ברוך אתה ה' למדני חוקך, אמן, 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 סלע ועד. יהי רצון פניך ה' אלוהי כשם שעזרתני לסיים מסכת תמורה, כן תעזרני להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור, לעשות ולקיים, וכל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים, יעמוד לנו ולזרענו, שלא ימוש התורה מפינו ומפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם. תקיים בנו בתהלכך, תנחה אותך בשוכחך, תשמור עליך, בקיצותה היא תשיחך. כיבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים, אורחים מבינה, בשמאלה, עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.